buckled up. Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Brett Brown can walk off the floor tonight knowing he actually did get a win. And now everybody looking around at each other with their hand on the string on the confetti saying, are we good? Did we really win this one? They did. Full marks to the Sixers. It wasn't their best game this year, but it was more than enough to survive, and they have extended the series back to Boston on Wednesday for Game 5. Final score, Philadelphia 103, Boston 92. Sixers get the win, but the Celtics get the split, and they can close it out Wednesday night in Boston.
All right, Celtics Sixers, the officiating Red Sox Yankees tonight. Bruins offseason of Tom Brady at the Met. All on the board with your phone calls. Right back to it, as promised. Tommy in Connecticut. Go ahead, Tommy.
Yeah, I want to summarize this NBA talk today, the ref thing with the game last night, with one statement you made earlier. David Stern made the FBI clear Scott Foster. Let that sink in for a minute. David Stern.
Are you saying you believe that or don't believe that? Oh.
See, I think that could go either way,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, me too.
Because pretty powerful league. Like, and think of the ramifications of if there were sort of a league-wide referee-fixing scandal.
You tell me. Again, those phone records, hundreds of calls, all 2 minutes or less, made in and around Tim Donaghy betting on games, refereeing games, and calling his bookie. Again, quick call to Foster, quick call to the bookie, quick call back to Foster, referee the game, quick call to Foster, quick call to the bookie, quick call back to Foster. Repeatedly, hundreds of times. Childhood friends, or they've been lifelong friends, Foster and Donaghy. How do you not, like, how does anyone get cleared for that? Never mind, return and ref in the league. I mean, I'm sorry, what do you think they were doing?
Well, look, and just the mere appearance of it should be enough for the league to want to wipe it all out.
Exactly.
Of there. Just that, again.
But again, if David Stern does that, if David Stern acts as Scott Foster along with Tim Donaghy, well, now you have a refereeing conspiracy on your hands and not a rogue ref. It's a much different and much bigger story. So he couldn't, if he acts Scott Foster, then that puts the lie to the rogue ref theory.
Sure.
He's got to keep Scott Foster on board, and he has. And you need a series extended? It seems like he is now the guy.
I mean, that's...
But how far away from are we from that story now? 15 years? Like, he should be out of the league. Foster should be out of the league,
God,
by now.
No question. He's not. He's still there, and it's great. You've had three series.
Which leads me to believe he knows where the bodies are buried, you know? Like, they can't get rid of them.
Oh, so maybe there's that, too. That's good.
No, that is a good one. Yeah, and then, I mean, you know, and if you want to get really twisted, maybe he wasn't the only one working on behalf of the league. Maybe Donaghy was, too. Like, Donaghy was just dumb enough to not cover his tracks. I don't know.
Well, Donaghy has written. He knew what to do without being told by the league. He knew what they wanted.
True.
And in these cases, they want inventory. Sweeps hurts the league. It takes money out of their pocket. It means refunds to the networks. It means lower salary caps. And they got crushed in this last year. Now you're here in this year, and you got all these sweeps across the board in the second round until Scott Foster shows up.
Well, so there are four series right now in the NBA.
Three.
Well, right. One of them just ended. That was Cleveland, which is a sweep. So you wouldn't want sweeps in the other ones for sure. Houston and Utah. Utah has one win. It's 3-1. The only win, Scott Foster was the lead ref on May 2nd. Golden State, New Orleans, 3-1. Golden State. New Orleans only win, Scott Foster was the lead referee on May 4th. Celtics, Philly, 3-1 Boston. Philly's only win last night.
Yep.
And just, Scott Foster, the lead referee.
And to double down, the league also gives you Tony Brothers, who has now reffed 8 straight Celtics playoff losses. Again, let this sink in. The last 8 games Tony Brothers has reffed for the Celtics in the playoffs, you have lost 8. 0-8.
Well, you need a backup plan. I mean, because what happens if, like, Scott Foster rolls an ankle and you got to go, you know, like, you got to make sure there's a contingency plan.
I just think, to me, what's amazing is they just can't be a little less obvious.
I mean, this thing with Foster's trail here through the postseason is like guilty as sin.
Okay, shut your pie hole. We have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
So ahead of tonight's start to this Red Sox-Yankees series, David Price is dealing with more numbness in his hand. He has been sent back to Boston for tests. He will not pitch in New York. So now it's Rick Porcello tomorrow, Eduardo Rodriguez on Thursday. Again, David Price dealing with more numbness in his hand. He has been sent back to Boston. He will not pitch against the Yankees.
I'm not surprised by this. I mean, again, Murray, you pointed out that story yesterday that was in, was it the Lawrence Eagle Tribune or one of those papers up there? It had a quote from Price talking about the temperature in Anaheim being cooler than it usually is out there. Okay, and that game, if I remember that night, it was in the low 60s. So, like, I hear that and go, uh-oh. So if he has numbness in his hand now and they're checking it out, I mean, you know, I start worrying about the elbow.
I was going to say, do you think hand or do you think elbow?
I think elbow. That's what I think. I think elbow. I think there's something going on there. And again, the ball's not coming out right. In the last game he pitched, he was not throwing the ball right. And look at the walks as much as anything. Price does not walk guys. Not at the rate he's walking them now. And he's, you know, walking guys at over 5 per 9 innings, I think it is, in the last 5 starts. So I'm not shocked by this. This is part of the reason I told you I'm a little worried about the starting pitching. Because Price doesn't seem right to me. And this guy, Pomeranz, who's going tonight, he doesn't seem right to me either. So, you know, it's a bad area for them to get pounded in because it's obviously what the team is built on.
So the whole thing with Price started with that outing with the numbness in the hands that he came out in the second inning.
Yankees, after the first.
Well, that was it.
Oh, yeah. Or was it Baltimore? I don't remember.
No, it was New York.
Yeah, New York. That's right. It was New York.
He came out in the second
inning. Right, because he gave up a home run to Sanchez, as usual.
Do you wonder if the whole numbness in the hands and circulation is all bullcrap?
Could be. It could be mental.
Or because that there's again, actually an elbow issue going
right,
on.
Yeah, he was talking about cold and this, cold in Anaheim. I mean, what is it, 50?
No, it was in the low 60s that night.
You say.
It was
like,
unseasonably cold.
Yeah, no. I mean, I wonder maybe they were covering something up. Which, at the time, my instinct was, I smell a rat. Something's going on there. Like, that doesn't sound right. Because I'd never heard that before. And then the more you hear about it, you think, well, maybe that is what it is. Maybe that explains the October thing. Who the hell knows? But to me, given what we know about him, tingling in his hand, I think elbow. I absolutely think elbow. So if he's going to pitch like this, it's not a loss. See you later. You're done. Adios. You're stuck with the contract. But there's no real residual for the team. I just feel like it might be more than one guy. And, you know, you were counting on him, too, but I think there's a real issue there.
Okay, so there it is. David Price sent home with that hand, arm, whatever, elbow issue. Will not pitch tomorrow night in New York, which may be a good thing because he's getting his lips ripped off here the last couple of outings.
I mean, I don't want to get too, you know, too speculative about what it could be. But numbness in the fingers is not good. It's not good. Like, I just... You know,
tell me what you're
speculate.
Thinking.
What could
you,
it
no,
be?
I can speculate. It's
well,
okay.
I start thinking about, like, you know, when you talk about circulation problems in pitchers, you start thinking about blood clots. And so, you know, again, and I'm throwing crap against the wall, but that's serious stuff. So to me, that I've heard those stories of pitchers who lose feeling in their hands, and then they go and check them out, and they find a blood clot in their shoulder or in their elbow or somewhere that's affecting the, you know, the circulation and the feel in their hands, and then that becomes a serious issue. So, you know, to me, I'd be alarmed if I were Price. I don't blame him for being worried if he is.
Okay, Tony and Stoneham, you want to weigh in on that news of the Red Sox? Tony, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Before I get to the Red Sox, you know, this NBA thing, I gotta give you a little story. Years ago, I used to go to Suffering Downs and met this guy that, you know, he knows everything. You know, the races are fixed, this is fixed, whatever. Turned out one of the races was fixed. Then that night, he tells me who to bet in the basketball game. And, Tony, you probably remember Hal Greer.
Of course. Sure.
Yeah. He goes 0 for 3 when he had 3 for 2 at the free throw line that made the difference in the point spread. Okay?
It's basketball, Tony.
Yeah. And basketball is the worst bet for the better anyway. But anyway, getting to the Red Sox. Why didn't they keep Sale out for the Yankees series?
Good question.
So we got a call on this earlier. It's interesting.
Especially knowing what we know now.
against that beanbag Texas team on Sunday. And, right, Price ailing.
So, and there's no way they can tell me that this whole thing with Price just popped up. Like, in other words, you know, we didn't know about it when we sent Sale out there. Bull crap. They've known about it for however long it's been, and they thought they could manage it, or they thought he would get past a certain point, and they didn't do that. So now, look, the Sale thing is a separate argument, but losing Price for, you know, the first couple of starts of the year, he looked terrific. I mean, he did. He looked terrific, and you thought maybe they'll get something out of him this year. And so I'd be worried. You know, numbness in the fingers is never good.
Okay, and we got Red Sox-Yankees and that rematch after the brawl the last time around. What do we expect tonight with that? We discuss right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-coupon. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now here's the 2-1. And it hit him. Austin slammed his bat on the ground, now heads toward the mound, and he's ready to swing. He and Kelly go down on the ground, both benches empty. We have a brawl in Boston, and the brawl is going on. Austin had slid hard into Holt, and so Kelly hit him with a pitch, and Austin charged the mound.
Look, there's payback and there's payback. You don't hit a batter there throwing 98 miles an hour. You just don't do that. That's his life. Never mind his career. That's his life. Are you kidding me?
I was ready to defend myself. Someone comes to my property and in my backyard. I have two dogs and ready to come to my property. And, you know, if I'm getting attacked, then I'm having to defend myself.
Hey, Joe Kelly. He's in tonight, right? He's still with...
Oh, yeah, no. He's active there. Again, yeah.
And Tyler Austin's active?
Yep, he had a good... They're both back. And Kelly actually had a good outing over the weekend. He picked him up big time in the game they came back in. I think that was, what, Saturday, right? 6-5? So, you know, he's been a little bit better, but everyone's back, yes.
Okay, so good. Should be a good one tonight. Continue to talk about this. Celtics, whatever you want. Let's grab Dante and Linfield on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Dante.
Hey, something that's kind of getting lost. Now that we hear this price of, this news of Price, we're going to be on the hook for that contract. Not to mention Hanley Ramirez. Like, I know he's hitting guys. I realize that, which honestly kind of pisses me off even more, because now I know it's just a drive thing. It's not a decline in ability. We're going to be on the hook for that contract next year because he's going to get way more than 497 plate appearances. It's just like the blueprint right now for me is a little bit confusing. Coupled with the Swihart stuff, I mean, who runs anymore? Is the defense really that much of a need behind the plate? You know, I thought he was going to get some starts at first. Like, I'm just a little confused about where the direction everything's going.
So three things. Well, two things. Just future money on the Red Sox, a concern.
Not huge. Not because, again, they're going to lose some money here at the end of this year, and I still think they're going to stand in Hanley's way. I do. I'd be surprised.
Gonna shut him down or something? Like, that's going to go well.
I don't know.
Sarcastic. Like,
he'll get hurt or something will happen.
You think so?
Yep, I do. If he gets it, I'll be surprised. I will. I'll be surprised. And maybe Cora's going to pick his spots. I haven't done the math on what pace he's on for plate appearances.
Well, he's got to be squirrely on pace. He's played every day.
You would think so. I mean, again, you would think so. He missed a couple of games, right?
With an injury?
No, he got hit by a pitch on the hand, and then he missed the next day. And then I think he has sat. There was a Sunday game he sat. So he's missed two or three games out of 30, which doesn't feel like enough.
Nope.
So, but I'm not convinced that Hanley's going to be here next year. I'm just not. Call me a cynic. I'm sorry.
David Price?
That one you're stuck with. But Kimbrel's up at the end of the year. Pomeranz is up at the end of the year. By the end of next year, you get Sandoval off the payroll, too. Like, so, they got plenty of money. I'm not worried about the money.
Here's Roger and Haverhill on the Celts. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, listen, I think since Smart has been back on this team, he seems like a different player. The way he's hustling, you know, not as many turnovers. He's shooting better. I mean, this guy has literally turned this whole team around. I mean, I'm excited about this team with the young kids that they have. And I'm just wondering, I'm not sure how far they'll go in the finals, but are they going to be a favorite next year with Kyrie coming back and Hayward to win this whole thing?
No. You should be the favorite in the East. I mean, you're going to be really good. If Kyrie and Hayward come back healthy to this group,
I mean, they're
going to be really, really good.
I don't think it's a stretch to say they could be the second best team in the league.
Yeah. I mean, Houston should be, but they're a bunch of losing bums. I don't trust them, right? If they knew how to play, you would say Houston, but they don't know how to play.
Yeah. And dare I say you've got a coaching advantage in that one?
Oh, thank you, Maz.
Is that hypocritical?
Come on over.
I just think D'Antoni's a jackass.
Come on over.
Total jackass. But to me, the big thing was the development of Tatum and Brown this year. The two of them. So now you add Hayward and Kyrie to that mix?
Oof.
How are people going to defend you?
They're going to be good.
They are going to be good.
Bruce in Wethersfield. Go ahead, Bruce. Speaking of Brad Stevens, go.
Yeah, hey, guys. You got some criticism of Brad, even though he's a good coach. Yeah, Boston was in the bonus halfway in the fourth. They didn't drive the paint. Protect Rozier's slow start late game three, and somebody got to touch up McConnell. Thanks.
Okay, so McConnell, you should be able to stop that kid.
Yeah.
I mean, that shouldn't be a problem it was.
Yeah, so I'm not worried about the points with him. What I'm worried about is that their offense overall is going to be more efficient because there's now a guy on the floor that you actually have to be within arm's distance of when he's outside of the paint. So the thing with Simmons, they were playing 4-on-5. I'm sorry, there's no other way to say it. He was useless. And he was making bad decisions, and he's still making bad decisions, by the way. How about that fast break last time where you bounce it behind his back?
Oh.
The pass?
Brutal.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Stupidest pass ever.
How about the long outlet?
Oh, God, horrible.
At the end of the game.
Yeah, horrible.
Even Dingleberry there, Brett Brown, realized and got on him. He was yelling at him.
Yes.
How stupid was that?
Brutal. Brutal. So, to me, what they do by having McConnell on the floor is they take the ball out of Simmons' hands. Let McConnell run the offense, and then if you want to appease Simmons or pacify him in some way in your Brown, you say, fine, get your ass down on the block. You're going to have a guard on you in all probability. You're 6'10". You want to score in the post and pass out of the post? We're fine with that. But we can't run the offense through you with the way they're playing us. Can't do it.
Paul in the car on the refereeing. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys, who the hell called the technical on Jaylen Brown when he was down the other end of the court pulling himself out of the game? Did he, pass wind to the interruption?
I'm not sure.
What did he do to get that? And that's what ended the game. That totally took their composure away.
Okay, so I'm not sure which one got him. Does it really matter? Brothers or Scott Foster? Who was the one who called us before who said Brothers teed up a guy in Houston the other day when he was on the bike?
Oh, yeah.
Tell you, these two are the fixers, man. The league needs something? Send these two.
Oh, it feels that way.
Clemenza and Petangela.
Yeah, one of them brings a gun, the other brings the cannolis. They show up in the trench coats and they touch you the guitar cases. The two of them walk into the arena. As soon as you're Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge, and you get that notice of who the referees are.
Yeah, here we go.
You're like, dude, what pork tonight?
Not tonight, fellas.
Yeah, this would be a good night to play Shane Larkin. Make sure Abdel Nader gets some minutes.
Doug in Great Barrington. Hi, Doug.
Yeah, there was a play last night in the middle of the game where Smart dove for a loose ball at midcourt. He was on the court, laying on the court, and Ben Simmons jumped on top of him, and they called Marcus for the foul. I mean, how blatant is the refereeing bad here?
I mean, I thought the most blatant one was the offensive goaltend. Embiid, was it Simmons and Embiid?
Yes, it was Simmons. Simmons threw the ball up to Embiid and he dunked it.
That was going to swish.
Yeah, I know.
That wasn't close. That was a swish.
I'd say three quarters of the ball was in the cylinder on that one. On the Smart play he's talking about, I actually thought it was a foul. Because if you remember the way it started, Smart dove into him and sort of caused the whole play. And then I thought Smart hurt his hand on that.
Yes.
It looked like Simmons landed on it, but then when you watch the replay, he didn't. So, look, some of it the Celtics earned. Don't get me wrong. Let's not delude ourselves into saying the Celtics played well last night.
And like I said earlier, these calls, you go to individual calls, they can all go either way. I mean, it's just an impossible sport to officiate. It's just what you look at is the assignments and their track records. And these two, my God. And then again, if you can call one every time down the floor, and any call could go either way, how do the Celtics go again from the 11-minute mark of the second period to the 38-second mark of the third period, 22 minutes without a single free throw. That's where you say, well, somewhere in there had to have been one, right? Not with Scott Foster and Tony Brothers.
Foster and Brothers.
Here's Lenny in Fall River. Hi, Len.
Hey, what's up, guys? First things first, this is the Bruins Warrior from before game four from your last.
All right, thanks for the protection. You scared off those Lightning fans.
You got that right.
Tremendous.
For the pick. I appreciate it. Like we said, we got to move Krejci while he still works something.
Still wearing the mask, huh?
Maz, you said it the other day. Love Backus.
Hey, Lenny.
Love his hot. Yeah.
Murray asked the right, are you talking to us through your mask right now? Because you sound like crap.
No, I'm not.
There
not
you go. Okay, there you go.
All right.
We got to move Casey down.
And then he goes right back behind the mask.
What's he doing?
Don't you love how guys do that?
You can't. And I just... hold on.
I think he was in the office or something. Did you hear, like, phones in the background?
Oh, I called you last week.
Hey, Jim, speaking to the mic, would you listen?
Oh, I'm wicked sorry. No, what I wanted to know from you guys was...
It's so true. Like, they put the thing to their mouth just long enough to say, no, I'm here. I'm speaking. But then they go back to here and like, well, you guys were saying last week.
Yeah, no. Yeah, can you guys hear me now? I'm loud and clear, right? Yeah.
All right, because, I was just in the middle of something. So, all right, no problem. I was just making sure. You guys good with that? I mean, it sort of defeats the whole purpose.
Yes, Jimmy Stewart.
They have an Ultimate Warrior guy. They have a Sting guy. You know they need a Hogan guy, right?
Hogan guy. They put him on the big screen.
They have a Hulk Hogan guy?
Yeah, I don't know if he's with them, but there is a Hogan in the crowd.
Okay,
you guys, Hulk Hogan here, and I've got one question for the Sports Hub listeners out there. What you gonna do when Felger and Maz run wild on you, brother? What you gonna do?
That's such a great drop.
Best piece of sound we own. Best piece of sound we own. Good job, Jimmy.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Listening to Felger and Bass.
Doesn't always have to be
ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5,
the Sports Hub.
It's not related to the elbow?
No. Well, as in now, no.
Yeah. And it must not be connected to the cold either, because there was the cold night was the time. There's no weather issue with this thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's going through tests today. We'll have more probably after the game or tomorrow.
What's your level of concern on him?
I was concerned when I heard about it on Sunday, about this start. So for me, obviously, his health is most important. And the more we know about this situation, the better it's going to be for him and obviously for his team.
Brad, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe.
Oh, my God. I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
Yeah, it's never good when Shaughnessy has the anal scope out. Here comes Shaughnessy with the colonoscopy.
Roger, Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe.
Always bad. It's never good news when he's peppering you with questions. Never is. I told you once, he called me for some story he was working on, but I didn't know he just needed me for background. Sarah says, because Shaughnessy somehow has my wife's contact, but not me. So the Wood one day is like, Shaughnessy's been trying to get a hold of you. I'm like, oh no. What? What now?
Take that, Beetle.
What did I say? What?
Brad, Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe.
Like, immediately you think, like, oh, God, bad news. Something's wrong. What did I do?
No, it is. It's like getting a call or a visit from the IRS.
Like, Joe Murray going to be with you 7 to 12. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
7 to 12. Welcome to the club, Dan.
So, Price is hurt. It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good.
The numbness in the hand, man, that's a scary one, I think. I just, again, being cold-related is one thing. And Shaughnessy's right. So it's obviously not related to the cold. Like, they know more than they're letting on.
And Dan says...
like dog do.
And Dan says, so it's not related to the elbow. And Cora said, not yet.
Right.
Not yet.
So they wonder it, too. The Red Sox are thinking the same thing. There's something going on in there, and it's affecting his ability to sort of feel the baseball. And look, the telltale thing to me is the walks. Price doesn't walk guys like that. He might not put the ball in the best spot when he's off, but he's in the strike zone. Look at his career. He doesn't walk 5 guys per 9 innings. So once those numbers get that out of whack, something's wrong. Something is wrong there.
Okay, here's Del in Connecticut with the Red Sox thought. Hi, Del.
Hey, listen, I just got one question. Nobody seems in the Red Sox hierarchy seems to want to say anything about it, but they're carrying a same batting average of .238, who this year is batting .180, and they keep raving how great he is. I'm just wondering what your guys' take is on that.
Okay, your phone cut out. He wants to know, why is Jackie Bradley Jr. in the lineup tonight? Why?
Good question. I've said that a lot today to the callers.
Well, go ahead.
Good question. Bradley, to me, should be sitting. I just think that, look, he's a great defensive center fielder. Terrific. What good does it do you if he's hitting a .170? I can find anybody to do that. There's a million guys who can play good defense in center field that hit a .170.
Actually, it's way worse than that recently. 5-for-47 in his last 15 games. Hasn't had an extra base hit since April 20th.
I mean, so he's scraping 100 now. Again, 5-for-50 is 100. You said 5-for-47, right?
Yeah, 106.
So he's right there. I mean, he's like he's in nothing area.
So why is he playing tonight?
Good question.
When you have Moreland, they have a righty going tonight, right?
Yeah, Severino.
So why not play Moreland at first? D.H. Hanley, put J.D. Martinez, in, you play him in right field in Yankee Stadium, and sit Bradley.
Yeah, and Moreland's 4-for-12 off of this guy, too. So another reason to have him in. I don't get it. I don't. I told you, I wanted to see the lineup tonight because I thought there was an opportunity here based on the way Cora was talking, the way Bradley's been playing, how Moreland's been contributing, all of that to say Moreland goes in, Hanley DHs, we stick J.D. Martinez in right field, and Mookie plays center tonight. And my guess is, you know, they're not going to put J.D. Martinez in left, so they didn't want to put Mookie in center. Yeah, my guess. You got me. I don't know. What I would do is play Benintendi in center permanently.
Yeah, what's wrong with that either?
Permanently. And play Swihart in left. Now, I'm talking long term now. Now, if you're saying put Moreland in the lineup.
He's got 1,000 OPS.
Absolutely. No issue there either. Either way, Bradley shouldn't be playing is the bottom line.
Sean in the car on the Celts. Hi, Sean.
Hey, so, Mike, your Brad Stevens love makes about as much sense as Bill Belichick getting an Alex Guerrero face tattoo on his back. Stop. Be proud of your horrible take. Be proud of it. All right? Maz, over under. Giancarlo Stanton getting 5 strikeouts on this series.
In the whole series?
Yeah.
Oh, over. Over. For sure. He strikes out like crazy. I thought you were going to say tonight. Like... But for the series, he'll strike out 5 times. Yeah. Yeah, I'd go over there. That's what I would do.
Are you coming off your Giancarlo Stanton stuff?
No. He's going to homer in this series, too, at least once. So get ready for that. In fact, maybe off of this clown pitching tonight, Pomeranz. Like, that feels like a homer waiting to happen. A hanging cut fastball about belt high that lands in Monument Park.
Jason and Lowell, go ahead on the refs.
Hey, what's going on, man? So, Embiid complains about no foul calls the game before in game 3, and then the very next game these two refs come out and look at the calls. I mean, it's crazy to me how many of the Celtics players get into foul trouble or foul out when the 76ers, none of them are in any foul trouble. Just look at how many times they go to the line. It's insane to me.
Well,
on the difference of fouls.
So I don't think that I'm not going to turn this into the refs have been screwing you the whole way thing. That's not the case. Last night, the league needed the series to be extended. So they sent a couple guys who make sure that happens. And yep, that happened to you last night. I don't want to turn this into a thing like you're constantly, I'm not going to listen to Tommy cry at me every night about the refs. Last night was a particular thing, and you heard, you know, the Celtics clearly believe it because Grandy even said it on the broadcast. The team broadcaster says, you don't think the NBA wants to go dark for 3 nights, do you? And that's it. That's it. If that's a sweep last night, the Cavs are done. These two series in the West to end tonight, you got no basketball till Saturday, Sunday. I think it's more than 3 days. You got no basketball for 4 or 5 days in the middle of the playoffs. They had that last year, and it killed them. So, yeah, last night it happened. No question about it.
Again, genetically modified. That's how I would describe it. GMO series. That's what it is. Genetically modified.
Mark and Wellesley, your thoughts.
Yeah, I wanted you guys. I think you just covered it, Duggar, but I want to know if this ref thing is a big joke or is it a serious thing? You know, I mean, you just came up and said, yeah, they did it. So,
I think it's serious. I think I think the league extends series, and they don't. It's not a directive. They don't tell anybody to do anything, but the refs show up knowing what the league needs. And so I think it happens. I think it's been happening for years in that league. And I think basketball is a sport to do it. And like I told you before, I think hockey would love to do it. It's just you can't control the bounce of the puck, and you just can't affect a game. I mean, you could try around the edges. Yeah, And the Bruins certainly got porked by the refs in their series. But at the end of the day, the team that was supposed to win won, and they won in five games. In basketball, it's just, you know, you give someone two early fouls, it changes the whole nature of the game.
Of course it does. Yeah, totally does. And I think that in that sport, really, I mean, what are you talking about? Four teams in the league that can really play with each other when they want to. I mean, that's really what we're talking about here. When Golden State and Houston want to play, and they're engaged and healthy, they could win 80% of the games.
Of course.
Easily. And so during the regular season, they take nights off. It happens, whatever. They get into the playoffs. So the bottom line is in the semifinals and the quarterfinals, and I mean of the conference, not of the league, you're going to get lopsided series, and they got to extend them. They have to.
Kristen in Waltham. Hi, Kristen.
Hi. No, I just sort of piggybacking on what you said about the refs. I mean, it was so horrible last night. Even Brad Stevens got a technical. Can we talk for a minute about what he possibly said to get a technical? Oh, like, golly gee.
Darn.
yeah, right.
That's just gee willikers.
Willikers, yeah.
I mean,
well, again, these are refs that teed up somebody on the bike in a previous game in the playoffs. Like, I was riding the bike behind the bench, and they got teed up.
No, and Stevens was walking. So this is a step up for them. I mean, this is actually going after someone who's on the floor and out of his seat. Like, you know, I wondered about that, too. Like, how many do you even have this year? Two? One? I remember
that's
one.
That's definitely less than five.
I remember one technical he got where I thought, whoa, that's out of the ordinary, and he was yelling. So he was.
But still, what's he yelling?
Right, but well,
dang it!
Yeah.
I disagree.
Yeah.
You're wrong.
Dan in Phoenix. Hi, Danny.
Hey guys, how's it going?
We're doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, except it's 105 here.
Okay, I don't care.
All right.
So when the Celtics see the Cavs in the next round, do you think that they'll possibly start Shemmy on LeBron like they did with Giannis?
No.
Okay, why are you laughing at him, Maz? Because you're already laughing.
No, LeBron will abuse Shemmy. Like, we're going to start doing this stupidity again? No.
You don't think the Celtics are going to have some answers for LeBron?
So, look, if you're asking me, do I think he might guard him at some point in the series? Sure. When they're getting their asses kicked and they need someone to take a couple of fouls or something, fine.
You don't trust that Stevens will have any answers for LeBron?
Nope.
Murray? Help me here.
No, not really.
Come on! No. Wait a minute now.
It'll be a competitive series. Jimmy wants to tell...
What happened to the Brad bots? Come on!
See, I'm glad you brought this up. This is perfect, actually. Perfect. This is exactly what I was trying to tell you yesterday. It has a ceiling.
And LeBron's the ceiling.
And he's not the only
one. There's nothing a coach can do.
Nope. Zippo. Nope. What are you going to do, triple team him? He'll pass to two open guys.
Pay off Scott Foster.
I mean, that's your only shot, really. Your only shot is that he gets in foul trouble. Otherwise...
And that ain't going to happen.
No, you're not stopping him. I mean, we all know the way to play LeBron, and that's to try to make him take shots from the perimeter. He's not a great jump shooter. But if he's committed to going to the basket, you're not going to stop him.
You do have Marcus Morris, who, per 100 possessions, is the best LeBron defender in the NBA.
Good job, Jimmy.
You're still going to lose. So put him on him. This is where it doesn't matter. Because the talent is so great, the coach can't stop him.
Well, let's see. I'm a newly minted Brad bot. I assume he's going to have something up his sleeve.
Has anybody ever stopped him?
Well,
You have the best shot. Per advanced statistics.
Thank you. Keep bringing those advanced statistics up, Maz. Stu, I love them. I love those advanced metrics.
Jimmy, who gets to shut off your mic?
if you want to learn how to run a mixer, Maz, by all means.
No, I'm not interested in the mixer. I just want a button out here that allows me to turn off your mic.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
That's the deal there, Maz. He controls us. We don't control him.
I get it.
Maz's mic doesn't work.
Mick Murphy and West Roxbury and Price, go.
You know, I have the cure for what ails David Price and the numbness in his hand.
What? Go.
Pitching in a different town.
Yes, guy, he's got a Bostonitis.
That guy is a bummer, man. He's got to go. Okay. Have a nice night, guys.
Okay, babe, you too. So, I mean, David Price, it continues.
I'm opting in. I ain't going anywhere.
See, I thought this year might be a little different.
I mean, based on those first couple of starts, I did too.
I took the cheese that he was going to try as much as he could, have a new outlook, come out and pitch better. He looked good in the postseason last year. The first two games are pretty good. I took the Chiefs. I did. I took it. I thought he's going to be all right this year. Maybe he wins 14 and goes 14-8, something like that. Sale's going to be good, and then the rest of the rotation, they'll figure it out, and they're going to be right there, especially after Martinez is hitting the way he's hitting. Now I look at it and I say, this might be like it.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma!
We're gonna run it right down their throat!
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire.
Hey, nobody.
Prices and great free services. Nobody beats nobody. Town Fair Tire. No. Buddy.
Quick, we got to get this in. Murray said before he was all in on Brady doing the Met Gala stuff, bettering himself, going to better parties with better people and dressing up. And
high society, baby.
Maz said, Murray, you would never wear what Brady was wearing. And Murray said, screw you. I would love to wear that sort of stuff. So, of course, we put it together. If you're watching the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, are we going to put that up?
Tell you what, Murray looks good in that jacket.
That's what Murray would look like on the arm of Gisele Bündchen at the Met Gala in Brady's getup. And Murray... That just looks right.
It does kind of look right.
It does. It's in all seriousness, Murray, you get a little like Sean Connery thing going.
You're right. You know what
I mean?
I could pull off that jacket.
You look good in that.
Yeah, and I actually found something similar to it. I found out that's a Versace suit. Is that what Brady was wearing last night? And that jacket retails for about $4,000.
Oh, that's nothing.
Impossible.
You got that, okay? Quickly.
All right. So, yesterday you gushed about Brad Stevens, the job that he has done against the 76ers in this series. Some people, like this caller, actually, in this last segment, they're not buying it.
Mike, your Brad Stevens love makes about as much sense as Bill Belichick getting an Alex Guerrero face tattoo on his back. Stop,
because people think it's a Trojan take. Jimmy said that yesterday. We all kind of agree.
Trojan horse.
What you're doing here, it's a Trojan horse. It's a Trojan take. So
I agree.
Sometimes these don't always work, but sometimes I hear things in my head. I have to get them out, produce something for the show. Again, they sometimes fall flat, so I give to you the Trojan take.
Stevens and the Celtics went in there and exposed that team, man.
Yep, they did.
Attention, fellow Green Teamers! Michael Felger has finally seen the light. He has recognized the importance of our true leader, Coach Brad Stevens. And now, he is one of us. Let him in.
Felger.
Yeah, hey, Felger. You really think the Celtics are beating the Sixers because of Coach Stevens? Huh?
You're not just beating the Sixers. You're exposing them. You are exposing them as a fraud team. And that's because of your coach. It is.
Yeah, I don't know there, Felger. You really believe Coach Stevens makes a difference?
He makes more of a difference than I gave him credit for. If you're going to go on the road and win road playoff games based almost solely on coaching, then fine. I tip my cap. I give up.
He's giving up. He believes in Stevens.
Hey, Mr. Mike, just one more question over here. What do you think of the player Terry Rozier? Oh, how I love Terry.
It is so predictable, you people. It's cute. I mean, it is cute what you do. All of you, even like the so-called smart basketball people in this town, you fall in love with your players like I've never seen, to the point where you love them all.
Of course we love them. They're Celtics.
Like one or two good games, and it's... Now I'm being fed Terry Rozier. How are the Sixers may not have an answer for Terry Rozier. Hi, you know what? Can I give the Sixers the answer for Terry Rozier?
Sure.
Wait.
You son of a bitch, Felger! No! You fooled us with a Trojan tank! A Trojan tank!
I believed you, Mr. Mike. I thought you were one of us.
Beware of Felger's Trojan takes.
People shouldn't buy it.
This is an epic. That's an epic bit right there. That's like a two-part series there.
No, no, that's a long one.
See, do you understand? Do you think people understand what it means? Do people understand what the Trojan horse reference even means?
No, probably not. Not our audience. That might be a little too highbrow. Again, sometimes these things fall flat.
Oh, no, they understand.
No, they don't.
It.
No, they don't. I bet you, I guarantee you, less than half understand what it means.
I would say about 80% think it's a condom reference.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
I don't gotta understand. He's trying to do him with protection. I'd be willing, yeah. So, but again, I hear these things in my head. I have to get them.
No, no. I think that was worthwhile.
Oh, I bet you more than half our audience.
Explain it. What's a Trojan horse?
The Trojan horse was a gift that the Greeks gave to the Trojans that had an army inside, and that they accepted the gift and then took over the country.
They used it to get inside the walls of the city.
Yeah.
Once they brought this giant, it was a Trojan horse. It was a giant Trojan horse. Once they got inside the walls of the city, all the...
The army comes
the
out.
Army
at night. Yeah, at night they came out.
Popped out of the giant Trojan horse. And
took over the city.
And took over the city. And so it's
the
like...
The city of Troy.
It's a...
I thought he was talking about protection. You can get diseases, you know.
Yeah, is it a ribbed Trojan horse?
It's a sneak attack, in other words. A Trojan horse, right, that's a sneak attack. So
you're pulling in the people by saying you love Brad Stevens.
You think I'm setting you up to rip Stevens. Mm-hmm. For LeBron to go off for like 45 and 10, and for then me to show up the next day and go, huh, where was your coach?
Mm-hmm. It's coming.
I guess the coach isn't everything. So
yeah, I think that was an ultra-thin take. Felger and Maz.